This is Eric.
This is Marie.
And this is Phil.
And you're listening to the Rock 5 Podcast.
On this episode, we feature music from Five Sorrows.
We interview Bradley Hathaway.
And we bring you up to date on the battle in Aurora. Thursday, a federal judge denied Planned Parenthood's request for an injunction against the city's refusal to grant them an occupancy permit until investigations into possible fraud are concluded.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Exactly what I said. What happened is Planned Parenthood sued the city of Aurora saying that it's unfair that you are refusing to give us an occupancy permit just because you don't like us because we do abortions.
So they were trying to get in, even though they were under investigation. They were still trying to open their clinic, even though they were under investigation of committing fraud.
Yes, basically what they said, what Steve Trombley said, is that we no longer have faith in the city of Aurora, and we are going to try any way possible to open this clinic, including suing the very city that we were trying to sweet talk a week ago.
Current update in Aurora right now is that Planned Parenthood did not get a special use permit. And what happened is when they went under the Gemini Office Development name, the Gemini Office Development organization was a for-profit organization. Now, Planned Parenthood is a nonprofit organization, and it requires it's a different process.
It falls under different guidelines.
Right. So they did not go under the correct process to receive a special use permit. And that is, to acquire such a permit, the applicant must schedule a public hearing, notify property owners within 250 feet of the proposed building, and advertise the hearing in a local newspaper. They didn't do that. Mm-hmm. They didn't do any of that.
In fact, absolutely brilliant that they would use Gemini to get around this, which it appears they did.
It's like you're peeling away all of the ugly truths behind Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Stuff keeps popping up.
Mm-hmm. And just so everyone knows, the city council did confirm that these guidelines are in the zoning ordinances for Aurora. And they have turned all this information that has been gathered over to the special investigator, who is hopefully going to release a report by Friday.
Does all this surprise you, though? Planned Parenthood being, you know, America's largest abortion provider, which is, you know, the killing of an innocent human child. I mean, does going against rules and deceiving people surprise you at all?
No, it does not. Yeah, coming from Planned Parenthood, it doesn't.
But what do you do? I know what you do. You sue them. And that's what Tom Brekka from the Thomas More Society
has
done.
That's right.
He is suing on behalf of Joe Shidler, the Pro-Life Action League, Eric Shidler, and all of the protesters in Aurora who are protesting Planned Parenthood, basically saying that Planned Parenthood, you made libelous and malicious statements.
Which was in the newspaper ad that Planned Parenthood ran not too long ago.
They were. Which we talked about this on the podcast
last
week.
That's right. So if you're listening to the most recent podcast, you would be caught up
today.
Yeah,
you know, this is what happened.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm. Anne Franco had a concert on Sunday in Chicago. Planned Parenthood Chicago area was there, ready. They were tabling, and they got a chance to speak. Listen to what they said.
But this site has become ground zero for the fight against anyone's right to choose. And so right now, we need you to show your support. It's a fight for the entire nation. Because if we don't open this clinic, it's going to set precedent for every clinic that tries to open after us. And we need this clinic open. I'm here today because Ani asked me to come speak, and my CEO, Steve, is here. And I want to let you know that it's so important that we provide these services to women. Because every day that we're not open is a day that a woman doesn't get her birth control. We're here because we're providing a service that's legally viable. This is a constitutional right to all women. But this is it. That we're here, and we're not going anywhere. Just remember that your voice is a weapon. And then everything you do, whether you send a letter, or you show up, or you show your face, every tool is a weapon when you hold it.
Every tool is a weapon.
So every voice is a weapon, a constitutional right. We're not going to take it. Sounds pretty.
I remember hearing stuff like that back during the March for Women's Lives in 2004. And whatever became of that? They all went home and watched TV.
True. But here she is saying that your voice is a weapon. Now, you know, if a pro-lifer said that, what do you think? What would happen?
Pro-lifer says anything about a weapon, they get in trouble.
Sounds very aggressive. Sounds very in your face. But what I choose to do with my voice is to be one of truth and compassion, not one that spreads an anti-life philosophy and a pro-sexual immorality philosophy on other people and in communities that don't want you. But every day that this clinic is not open is a day that babies aren't being aborted.
That's right. Lives
and
are
also,
being saved.
Also, Planned Parenthood's not the savior that the city's been waiting years for.
Bonnie DeFranco is...
is a supporter of abortion through her music and through her speaking at the National Organization for Women conference, at the March for Women's Lives. She's done it all. Let her know that her support for Planned Parenthood is misguided. She shouldn't be using Planned Parenthood as her outlet, because Planned Parenthood has done lots of shady things, which I'm sure they didn't fill her in when they asked, can we speak at your concert, ma'am?
Right, right.
So you should send your comments to info@righteousbabe.com and let her know that Planned Parenthood is just simply too shady to support.
Well, there you go. Phil, tell us about Michael Schiavo. What's going on with his political action committee? Well,
Michael Schiavo, the former horrible husband of Terry Schindler Schiavo, has closed down his organization, Terry PAC, which he started, Terry Political Action Committee, was formed 22 months ago to get back at all the politicians who wanted to keep his wife alive. Which is...
Wait a minute. What's that?
Yeah.
Say that again. Really emphasize it.
He formed this organization, Terry PAC, to get back at all of the politicians who tried to keep his wife alive.
To try to keep his wife alive.
Yes. He wanted to support their opponents in primaries and in general elections.
Wow.
On his website, he does go and say that he's doing this because of money issues. However, he's not completely truthful with that. Turns out, in the 22 months that he collected donations, only $13,500 went to candidates. Over $80,000 went to his buddy, Derek Newton, of the November group, as well as his personal bank account.
Didn't he get audited a couple times, too?
Well, yeah, he's been in trouble repeatedly with the FEC. He's been in trouble several times with the FEC for having improperly filled out paperwork, for misreporting numbers, for not keeping accurate records. And he even has for filing a third quarter report for 2006, 12 days late, he got $1,350 fine, which is a lot for an organization that hasn't even taken in $100,000.
Wow.
But does it surprise you?
Not really. A lot of people believed when he first started this that it was used merely to keep his moment in the spotlight there, keep it shining. And, well, he shut it down now. I wonder what he's going to be doing.
So a big debate in the pro-life movement is the use of graphic signs. And some will debate that it doesn't work, it doesn't change any hearts or minds. Some people will even debate that it is not compassionate and is not very sensitive to women that have had abortions. We come across an article about a victory in Slovakia.
Yeah, well, why don't you just tell the Planned Parenthood in Slovakia that graphic images don't work? Because they seem to believe that they do. Because a pro-life group called Pravo na Život has started a campaign to place 500 graphic abortion billboards across the country of Slovakia. And what they're seeing is that so many people are becoming pro-life, it's changing the debate in the country.
That's great.
Yes.
500, you said?
500. And now the Slovak Health Ministry has revoked their law saying that all hospitals have to perform abortions. And, in fact, the Planned Parenthood in Slovakia is saying that it's the pro-life effort of the graphic images that's causing this.
So, graphic images do work.
Graphic images do work, at least in Slovakia.
Well, people say that once people actually learn of the truths behind what an abortion actually is, and most of the time it's going to take the pictures and the actual reality of what abortion really is.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people in Slovakia, I doubt that they've been hearing for years that pro-lifers are making all these images up. I mean, pro-lifers have been accused of photoshopping images, you know, even back before Photoshop was invented.
So finally,
40 Days for Life has started. If you haven't already, go to 40daysforlife.com and find the nearest location to you and get involved. You can even get involved in the middle of the night. They need people praying outside the abortion clinics, fasting. You know, do something to help this out. If you go through these 40 days and don't help out somehow, you're going to feel sorry later.
I was able to attend the kickoff for the 40 Days for Life in Washington, D.C. last night. Not last night.
On Wednesday night. On Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it went really well. I was really impressed with the number of people that came out and support.
Yes, and a lot of those people have never done anything pro-life before. They found out about the rally through the website.
Great. Alrighty, well, keep up the awesome work, and remember, 40 Days for Life started on Wednesday, September 26th, and will continue until November 4th.
And basically, it's 24 hours of a peaceful vigil and presence outside of abortion mills. So get involved. Finally, can I bring it up now?
Yeah, you can bring up that Barry Manilow.
All right, Barry Manilow. Phil didn't want me to bring this up, but we're going to talk about it anyways. Basically, he was an invited guest on The View.
Barry Manilow, not Phil.
That's true. You know, if I would have taken
the opportunity to speak there, unlike Mr. Manilow.
Right. And and that's a good point you bring up. You probably disagree with some of the hosts on that show, don't you?
I don't know. I don't watch it enough.
Phil doesn't watch it.
I just know what I get from YouTube.
All right. Well, I am sure you disagree with some views presented by some of the hosts there.
Oh, of course. I have disagreements with everybody.
You and I have disagreements.
Oh, a lot.
Right.
That is true. I have.
But we,
some of you listeners know this.
but we can sit at a table and be friends and talk about these things.
And be peaceful about it,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Peaceful.
We have yet to throw a fist.
But instead, Barry Manilow, I don't know for what reason, because we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure, although some people claim to know for sure.
That's true. But he decided that he demanded that Elizabeth Hasselbeck not be a co-host on the show for his interview. And The View refused to meet those demands, and so he said, well, I'm not going to be on your show.
Technically, The View management said that we are not going to meet those, and you're not going to be on the show.
And they canceled the show, right?
Yes.
Or they canceled his.
Yes, they did.
Right.
Well, Barry did say that she finds Elizabeth's, he says, I strongly disagree with her views. I think she's dangerous and offensive. I will not be on the same stage as her.
Whoa.
And some people have said, way to go, Barry. Barry's taking a stand. Now, some people say that this is because she is pro-life. And I've been on some abortion-supporting websites and blogs that say the same thing. But we don't know. We don't know for sure.
But it's speculation, right?
It is speculation. But what is interesting is that some of these people say, way to go, Barry. You're taking a stand. Way to give it to them. Well, you know, you made me lose concentration here. So how is that taking a stand, Phil?
How's it taking a stand?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people think that a lot of people who are in agreement with his views think that what he's doing is right. A lot of people don't like Hasselbeck, and thanks to YouTube, a lot of people can hear a lot of her comments. They disagree with her, and they want to see it brought to the light that she is a person who has views that a lot of Americans don't agree with.
Well, these people that are saying that, do you think that they just know that they're wrong and not going to face the truth?
Well, see, here's the interesting thing. A lot of people, very few people can conclusively know what he meant by her extremist views, because she holds a lot of views that are typical of a stereotypical conservative in the U.S., but that doesn't mean that he is a stereotypical liberal. Some people are claiming that abortion plays a role in this. However, there is no conclusive proof anywhere that this at all plays a point.
Right. But we wanted to bring it up anyway.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, he did give $2,300 to Ron Paul, who is a pro-life candidate on the Republican ticket. Ron Paul is anti-war, and what many are speculating, because he's made anti-war statements before, is that he's merely talking about her views on the Iraq War.
You can email us at podcast@rockforlife.org or call us at 866-552-3368.
All right, thanks for listening to the Rock for Life podcast. This is episode 11. If you have any comments, suggestions, or questions, email us at podcast@rockflife.org or call us at 866-552-3368. Over the summer, we ran into Bradley Hathaway at Cornerstone, and here it is.
All right, this is Rosh Koch here with Rock for Life podcast. I'm interviewing Bradley Hathaway. So when was it that you first heard of Rock for Life and when you first found out what Rock for Life and the pro-life movement was all about?
Yeah, I don't remember my first necessarily memory of Rock for Life, if it was in junior high or not, but I remember being in high school and I'm assuming I heard about it just through the music industry, probably through like Cornerstone or bands or something, because there was... back in the day, it was pretty popular. But I remember being in school, looking up and researching the whole pro-life thing, and then I got pamphlets sent, and I remember having those at shows, even at my venue, as long as 3 to 7 years ago. So yeah.
So why are you pro-life?
Yeah, good question. Like, to me, it almost like just makes sense. Like, it's really like, there is a life growing in you. At what point does the soul enter the body? I mean, if you have no agreement that there is no soul, then I don't think you can even begin to discuss it or even consider it. There's no consideration. But if you view humanity as something special and unique, as having a soul, does God breathe life into the child after it's born? You know, or whatever. It just makes sense that like there's a certain thing that happens and explodes into life. 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 9 months, when does the soul enter the body? Like, it just makes sense to me that it would kind of be right there the whole time, you know? But yeah, I mean, I just think that it just makes sense to me, man. Like, yeah, and I do believe that the humanity is special, and we are unique, and I do believe that God made us, and I think he just started making us down there, you know? It seems like, even for sake of debate and argument, that's the most appropriate place that it would enter. I don't know, you know, like, that seems like it would be the most sensical thing, like, when the life is being born, you know? I mean, well, I'm thinking this thought out now, and again, this isn't really something I sit around pondering all the time, but then it gets sketchy, because it's like the whole frozen embryos and things sitting in the freezers, like, is there a soul in there? And yeah, I don't know, man. It's pretty hairy, but to take a child, to take an eight-month-old little person and take him out of your body, you know, as the way they do, you know, ripping his brains out and breaking his head or whatever, like, I can't get with that as being appropriate or right.
There's been a lot of discussion lately throughout the entire pro-life movement about changing some of the tactics behind how to get the pro-life message across. Do you have any thoughts or opinions on the current methods that many of the pro-life organizations are using in order to get this message across? What are your thoughts and feelings on that?
Yeah. Well, I think first, education, obviously. Like, when I was younger, I was getting information. And right now, the whole thing about Africa, everything is going to Africa, Africa, save Africa and save the people in Africa. The first step in that is to let people know something's going on, education. Is that in a t-shirt that says abortion is homicide? That's pretty debatable. But I think first thing, you have to really inform people, like, this is when the heart starts beating. This is when the nervous system is intact. This is what age a child has survived, at what point, you know? So I think first is just everyone generally be knowledgeable about that. Is the answer for everyone to go around passing out pamphlets to everyone? I don't know. In an ideal world, us as Christians, us as individuals who are pro-life, should the conversation come up, we would be able to present our argument or our belief in that a child is a child from conception while it's in the womb, and that's just personal relationships, you know, like, not to sound cheesy, but like, it seems like just a one-on-one thing. Like, I mean, I know people that have had abortions, and I know people that have talked about abortions, and I think the thing for someone to do that believes it is to be like, well, ask them, what do you think about that? Well, when does it begin? How do you feel about that? How would you feel 10 years from now? How do you think that's going to do to your body? You know what I mean? All these questions. And
Bradley, thanks so much for your time. Everyone, make sure you check out his website. It's MySpace. It's thebradley.net.
Thebradley.net and then myspace.com/Bradley Hathaway.
Add him, be his friend, and leave him a message. Thanks so much, Bradley.
All right, so that was our interview with Bradley Hathaway. If you'd like to listen to the full interview, check out our MySpace at myspace.com/Rock for Life podcast. Also, you can check out our show notes at rockforlife.org.
Don't give MySpace more hits than they need.
Oh, Phil.
Upcoming events.
I just sit here and smile. Not really. I laugh too.
And then you turn and laugh. And
I make fun.
All right, upcoming events. Eric.
All right, we got lots of stuff coming up. Pro-Life Memorial Day, October 1st, this Monday. If you are not involved with a local vigil to memorialize the victims of abortion, there's a couple easy things that you can do to get involved. Ain't that right, Phil?
Yeah, first off, you can find out if there's anything going on in your area. And if there isn't, you could plan one. Or you could do these two simple things to memorialize that day.
Simple, huh?
They're very simple. Even I can do that.
Are they listed on the Pro-Life Memorial Day website?
You can find them in the show notes. rockblife.org/podcast.
Okay, but also on the website, right?
And on the website.
Okay. And let's go ahead and just share those two items right here. Yeah. One is wearing a black armband.
Yes.
Which is a common form of memorializing.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, it is.
And we know what Wikipedia is all about.
The truth.
And also, we have a website banner that you could put on your MySpace, Zynga, Facebook, all your other websites, and also as your profile picture. You can get those things at rockforlife.org and click on Rock for Life Podcast. Also coming up, and this isn't in our show notes, Kevorkian.
Oh, yeah.
On October 11th, Jack Kevorkian, a.k.a. Dr. Death, will be speaking at the University of Florida.
Boo,
yes. And so we're going to go down there and the Students for Life group on campus, or the Pro-Life group.
Gators for Life, I believe is what it's called. Gators for
Life have asked us for our assistance. So we're going to go down there and be visible witnesses to the truth. Dr. Death has boasted of helping to assist in the death of over 130 mm-hmm. elderly, disabled, and sick people. He is also getting paid $50,000 at the university.
How much?
$50,000. And this is coming...
That's ridiculous.
This is coming out of the funds.
You can get Brian Regan for $50,000. And I'm sure a lot more people at the university would prefer to hear Brian Regan.
I'm sorry, why do they want to hear him talk?
I didn't invite him. I don't know. But you know, Phil, your speaking fee is not quite that high.
In fact, I don't charge anything, do I?
Hey, if you want Phil to come speak at your next event.
Just bring a bag of beans.
He's a loose cannon, everybody.
Cut that out.
No, about the M&Ms. M&Ms aren't vegan. Everything else, right. You can leave.
Hey, Eric, did we get any questions for the podcast?
We get tons of questions, but wading through the mass quantities of them, here is a good one. When is March for Life next year?
That's a good question, because every year the March for Life changes. January 22nd is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. But unless it falls on a weekday, the march isn't going to be on it, because the organizers want it to be on a day when...
Well, this year it is on January 22nd, 2008.
Yes, it is, which is a Tuesday.
Yes. And Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. So, Training and Activism Weekend is January 20th through the 22nd. We have secured some rooms at the Washington Court.
For $150 per night, you get to stay at the Washington Court Hotel.
Not per night, per person.
Per person. You get to stay at an awesome hotel and do awesome outreach events in D.C. Not only will you come and learn more pro-life stuff and techniques.
You'll be hitting the streets with Rock for Life.
Yeah, we don't believe in hiding you inside during that weekend.
Absolutely not. We'll be all over the place.
You will be talking to strangers.
I hear it's a great event. You're actually out on the street, right?
Yes.
I look forward to this.
You will enjoy it.
It doesn't matter if it's snowing, raining, freezing cold. Doesn't matter. Babies need to be saved. The truth needs to be out there.
Mm-hmm. And you're not coming to D.C. to sightsee.
That's true.
You're coming to do stuff.
And we do stuff.
We do zoo stuff. Oh, we do.
And there's people all over the country that come.
Yes, there are. Even Canada. Canadians came last year.
Even Californians.
Even people from California came. And I know people from California. Some girl's going to get all... whiny.
Okay, we need to get moving.
All right, one more thing to go over. We want to let you know of some CDs that have come out by some bands and artists that support abortion. Foo Fighters, Melissa Etheridge, The Donnas, Eddie Vedder, Bruce Springsteen, they all support abortion. And if you see them at the store, just pass right on by and save your money for something bigger and better. And by the way, we would like you to... think about checking out these CDs by these artists, David Crowder Band, Tree 63, Kids in the Way, Thousand Foot Crutch, Spoken, Mainstay, Fallen Up have all released or will be releasing soon CDs. So check those out. And again, have a good day.
Thanks for tuning in to the Rock for Life podcast, episode 11. You can email us at podcast@rockforlife.org or call us at 866-552-3368. Music on this podcast is from Five Sorrows. Remember, the Rock for Life podcast is made available because of the generous donations by you, our listeners.
Donate online at rockforlife.org.
Rock for Life is a project of American Life League, pro-life without exceptions and without compromise.